Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is the Jay Cardiello Show. Get off the scale. Here's Jay.
Running and injuries, they seem to go hand in hand. Well, what if I told you? What if I told you that there's some simple and effective ways that you could reduce your chances of injury right before your next run? Joining me today is Dr. Michael Carpenter, and we're going to share with you some creative ways to help runners avoid injuries. Dr. Carpenter, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jay. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, running. Whenever you think of running, you think of knee pain, you think of lower back pain, you think of hip pain. There are so many pains you think of, and even just getting through your run is painful.
Doctor, it can be, yes.
It all depends how far you want to run. Is it true that there are ways that you can help reduce your chances of injury right before your next run?
Yes. I think most of the time, one of the things that we all do is think about the run and not think about what we need to do before the run or after the run to either prepare for the run or recover from the run. Most people think about, especially now when the weather's nice, they think, oh, it's spring, I'm going to go out and run, I know how to run, it's an easy thing to do. They don't think about they haven't been running as intensely or haven't been running at all, so they just lace on some shoes and take off. Instead of addressing some flexibility issues they may have, some strength issues that they may have, some body asymmetries that they may have. And if we don't address those, we're going to set ourselves up for injury because of the repetitive nature of running itself.
It's almost like the theory you have to crawl before you walk and then walk before you run. That goes right into certain things that you can do right before you run to reduce injury. And I always tell people, balance is so important. Flexibility is so important. And you could stand on one leg while brushing your teeth and increase symmetry and balance. You could just put your foot up on a chair and curl the toe and reach down and stretch your hamstring and calves. Are those certain things you're talking about, or is it a little more?
Well, to begin with, and then it's a little bit more than that. I agree that balance is key. A lot of people forget that by definition, running is a single leg activity. When we move from walking to running, we're going from that double stance time to actually standing on one leg at all times. So if we don't train ourselves in that balanced activity or in balanced activities, we're setting ourselves up for failure right there. Doing that single leg stance that you talked about by standing on one leg and brushing your teeth, or even standing on one leg and doing bicep curls or some other activity, we actually will find where our weakness is in our lower extremity, whether it's ankle weakness, knee weakness, hip weakness, or a flexibility difficulty.
Now, what are the most common injuries that you're seeing as a doctor? Is it the knee pain? Is it the hip pain? Is it maybe people are too inflexible that all of a sudden they come to you and say, hey, I have a lower back problem, and you say, well, your hamstrings are very tight. What are the most common injuries, and what are the complaints you're hearing from your patients?
Well, about a fifth of all running injuries are knee-related. And I believe it's mostly because that knee joint is taking most of the stress in absorbing the impact. But I do in the clinic see a lot of low back pain associated with hip flexor tightness. A lot of us do think about stretching our calves and stretching our quads, maybe stretching our hamstrings if we're getting a little bit more diligent. But a lot of us forget about stretching that hip flexor, that deep muscle in the front of the hip that's very important in running.
Now, is there a correlation between, say, the runner having the hip pain, but then also to the sitting at your desk for, say, 7.5 hours a day where your knees are raised up and your hip flexor, say, in that contracted position? Is it a culmination of the two, or is it just the running that's making the big impact on the hip?
I think what we do all day, every day impacts everything. I end up treating people's lifestyles more than I treat their activities. When a runner is sitting at their desk for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day and then going home and sitting on the couch, and the only time they're actually standing is running, they're fighting a losing battle. So stretching a hip flexor with any person is going to be vital, whether they're a runner or not, because that's a muscle that I see time and time again being very tight, very irritated on many people. And instead of us knowing how to stretch them, we stretch around it and end up hurting our back.
Interesting. So we can say right now to put you in a good position to avoid injury, we're looking at not only stretching your calves, stretching your hamstrings, but also implementing stretching and doing protocols to increase flexibility in and around that hip joint.
Yes. And then we also want to look at some strength issues around the hip joint. A lot of studies have shown that people who have weakness along the lateral hip, or the hip abductors, so to speak, also are predisposed to having some injury.
Now, laterally, we're speaking on the outside, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if people are having pain out there, what is a good thing that they could do? Is that, I know a lot of people know what foam rolling is, but would massage therapy also help that?
I think it takes a whole host of things to make sure that we're at optimal level. So foam rolling, massage, I like to do some weight-bearing activities, whether it being with a band or something else, where I'm sidestepping to get my hip to activate, single-leg stance activities, anything where you're doing a whole host of activities to prepare yourself for running. Because if you just pick on one thing, it's probably the one thing that you like the most, and that's probably the one thing you need the least. I tell a lot of patients, whatever in that whole gamut of flexibility, strengthening, a massage, foam rolling, whatever it is they like the least, that's probably what they need the most.
I like that philosophy. I also like that philosophy that you're implementing right now is that lifestyle. We haven't even talked about getting on the road and running. We're building the arsenals or the prehabs, I like to see, getting your prehabbing so you don't have to rehab, things to get ready even before you hit the road. That's very interesting. And speaking of that, how important is nutrition and sleep? With those two things, those two key words are overlooked so much. How important are they with reducing your chances of being injured as a runner?
Vitally important. If we don't have the proper hydration, our body's going to break down. You have to think about nutrition and water, like gas and oil in a vehicle. If we buy a high-performance sports car and put terrible gas in it and never change the oil, we're not going to expect great results out of it. We have to think of our body as the same. If we don't get enough rest, if we don't get enough nutrition and hydration, our bodies are going to break down.
What are we recommending for, say, the average person or even the runner, because they're asking so much of their body? Are we looking at 6 to 8 hours, or is it more for a runner because they're so active?
6 to 8 hours at the least. I don't want to recommend longer than that necessarily. I mean, if you have a day where you just need to crash because you've worked a lot and trained a lot, that's necessary. But if you're averaging 6 to 8 hours of sleep, you're definitely getting enough to rebuild and repair. The average American's not getting that, so if we could build them up to 6 to 8, we'd be doing them a great service.
It is. We're such a sleep-deprived nation, and it's just so important. People are overlooking the importance of sleep, because it's also leading to obesity, but it's also affecting us on performance at work, performances as parents, and also to people who are active and even runners, it's affecting us there. If you decrease the amount of sleep, listen up, if you decrease your amount of sleep, you're at a higher risk of injury in all capacities, from illnesses, suppressing your immune system, to being out on the road or your trail as a runner. Now, water. I always mention, doctor, half your body weight in ounces of water per day. For everybody, do runners need more water to reduce their chance of injury and keep them hydrated?
Absolutely. I think that your recommendation would be a baseline, and then any activity above and beyond, we need to make sure that we're replacing that water. You know, if we lose 2% of our body weight in water or hydration loss, sweat loss, we see, by studies, a decrease in athletic performance. And if you translate that to day-to-day activity or just running, you're going to have a loss of activity day after day after day, a loss of performance day after day after day. So we want to make sure we're using that guideline as the baseline and then replace whatever we lose in hydration after activity and even during activity, depending on how long you're running, like you said earlier.
Doctor, these tips were amazing. Not only were they amazing, but they were very informative, especially the sleep and hydration. If people want to find out more about you, where can they locate you on the internet?
They can locate me at my website at carpenterhealthandwellness.com or on social media at carpenterhealth.
Dr. Michael, you've made not only a difference in my life, but to all the people who are listening right now who are runners. Thank you so much, doctor, and have a great day. To learn more about how to reduce your chance of injury for your next run, you can always go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Until next time, I'm Jay Cardiello sharing my wellness strategies for helping you get off the scale right here at Radio MD. Stay well.